Hey guys, I'm Ryan Williams.
And I'm Jake Kern.
And this is 14,605.
And counting.
And we are back.
Yes, we are.
We are back once again for episode 96 of 14,605 and counting.
We're getting up there.
Yeah, 96. So if you listened to last episode, 95, we talked about 95 and Cleveland sports nostalgia. That was when the Indians went to the World Series against the Braves and they lost. 96.
You know, it's funny. I'm remembering this because I just saw it and it showed me the 96 Olympic Dream Team for basketball.
Ah, yes, the 96 Olympic Games. They were in Atlanta.
Yeah,
speaking of Atlanta,
it's funny because I looked at the entire team, the picture of everyone on that team, and I didn't know one. There was one person I didn't know, one, and it was Michelson, Mitch, something like that. Couldn't remember. I couldn't know who. I didn't know who that was. But it was like Gary Payton, David Robinson,
the glove. Yep, the Admiral.
Grant Hill, Scottie Pippen, John Stockton, Karl Malone. Like I'm looking at everyone's faces, and I'm like, got it. Hakeem Olajuwon.
The Dream.
Yeah, I'm looking. I'm like, got it. And I'm like, who is that guy? I was like, no, it's totally Gary Payton. Like, got him. Okay. I was like, who's that guy?
Now I'm curious now.
Anthony Hardaway, Shaq.
Now I'm going to look at the 96 Olympic team.
Who else was there? I thought I saved the picture too, and I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at my photos. I did not save it.
Who was on Group A? Yeah. Following teams represented.
Yeah,
it was probably Mitch Richmond.
That's the one.
Because that is the only name on this list where I'm like, who the bleep is that?
Yep, Reggie Miller was another one. Charles Barkley, he was the first, he was in the forefront of the picture.
Yeah, Mitch Richmond.
Yep, that's the one I didn't know.
Who the bleep is that?
Yep.
Like, who is that?
Yeah, Anthony Hardaway, Grant Hill, Shaq, Gary Payton.
Dude, I don't even remember his face.
No.
He was a six-time NBA All-Star, five-time All-NBA, former Rookie of the Year.
Wow.
He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Sacramento Kings, that's why you don't know.
I have no freaking clue who this dude is. All right. And, yeah.
But
he's, like, the only name, like, the other names on the list I can, like, see plays and video clips and pictures in my head.
Yep.
Like, I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, like, the only person Sacramento Kings, like Jason Williams, that's the one that sticks out to me.
Like, when I think Sacramento Kings, I think of the, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, when they had Vlade Divac, Chris Webber.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's who I think of when I think the Kings.
There you go.
But, yeah, pre that era, I have no freaking clue.
Yeah, yeah, the team, the thing I was reading about it was like this team doesn't get enough credit for the roster, like the big names on the roster, and it was like it was saying like because it doesn't have a name like Michael Jordan attached to it. I'm like, yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, he wasn't on that team, but yeah. So there's your 96 right there.
There we go. Well, I'm fond of 96 too, and I just thought that was actually my first time as a kid. 96.
Okay.
It was WrestleMania 12. I remember that. That was my first WrestleMania watching.
SummerSlam. I see 96 SummerSlam I'm looking at.
That was in Cleveland. I was there.
Nice.
That was the The big match from that was the Boiler Room Brawl between Mankind and Undertaker.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes, that was in Cleveland when it was named the Gund Arena.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, the.
So, yes.
And at that point, I was 12. So I probably started watching wrestling around that time as well.
Yeah.
If not then, so. Then it was like probably like a year or two after that, maybe.
Yeah, I like I had like little memories of like Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior like when I was a little kid. But yeah. Like 96, that's when I really started like getting into it, like as a preteen.
Yeah.
You know, it's WrestleMania in that year, WrestleMania 12. And yeah, like I said, Gund Arena, Summers, that might have been my first going to a live event too.
Oh, okay.
96. Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember for sure, but if it wasn't the first, maybe it was the second time because WrestleMania was in March, SummerSlam is in August, and they usually only come to Cleveland.
Okay.
Even now, they only come like twice a year, maybe three times. So that might have been the first live wrestling event that I went to, that pay-per-view. So
okay.
Anywho, we digress. Like we could probably talk about 1996.
And digress is what we do.
to be fair though, I listen to a lot of other podcasts too, and they do the same thing.
Yeah.
I hope you guys, but it's an option. Like I typically, whenever I start a podcast, like I'll skip like the first 8 minutes or so intentionally.
What?
Yeah. Because a lot of podcasts I listen to, they like go into like BS before they actually get to the topic, which is
that's the warm up.
Yeah.
That's the
warm up. So, like I said, in our defense, we're not the only people that do that.
So, I mean, for a while, we would talk before even logging on, so a lot of that would kind of be taken care of, and then we would log on and we'd be like, "Hey, let's get into the show."
Yeah,
and we but haven't really we'll done that too much recently.
Like 2 o'clock in the because we'll be up to like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right, but but now recently we've been hopping on and like we just like
and then doing that at the start of the show. Yeah.
Hey, you're ready to go, and then we get into the show, and there is a little bit of BS, but it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. Like I said, we're not the only podcasters that do it. I think it's a good warm up, like you said.
Yeah.
You know,
we're human.
But I mean, as a listener, sometimes you don't want to listen to the warm up. I get it. Like I said, but you know, we're not the only ones to do it.
But, you know, we weren't here to talk to you about 1996 and basketball and wrestling. What we are here to talk to you about is Ahsoka Episode 5.
Ooh.
The Shadow Warrior.
Here we go.
Now, I think you sent me 4 flame emojis.
4.
I think it was 4.
When you look back at it, it was actually 3. It was 3.
Okay. And I think my response was that I wasn't feeling the flame.
Your exact quote was, "This we're recording this on Wednesday night after the Tuesday night release. All right. Your quote was, last night, tonight was good. The episode was fun. I liked it, but I don't feel the fire.
The fire, yeah.
I'll explain myself. Don't worry.
Because I always feel a need to explain myself for things.
Okay. Well, I will say this. Now, I haven't any articles yet, which is what I tried not to do. Like, I don't want to look at any articles, deep dives, anything like that before we record because we want to try to give y'all our visceral reaction and analysis, if you will, without any other influence, right? But what I did
If I see a picture or something, I'll pop open just a picture. I'll try to avoid text. Yeah.
What I did see was a lot of pictures to the effect that this was the greatest live action thing ever in Star Wars. That seems to be kind of the general sentiment that I see about this episode. And then you say that you don't feel the fire. I'm going to give you the floor.
Oh,
sir.
Oh boy.
And I'm going to give you the floor to explain yourself. Okay. Go.
I will say that I did see a picture of Anakin, Hayden Christensen's Anakin, next to the Clone Wars Anakin.
I saw that picture too. I saved it.
Looked good. I saved it too.
I thought it was a fantastic picture. Yes.
So here's where I stand.
Okay.
From the perspective of the flashes of showing the Clone Wars, now everything was clouded. That was super intentional because, you know, you got to have the money to go into the super detail of the Clone Wars. Let's just show some clone troops, show some blasters, you know, all that kind of stuff. I get it. I enjoyed seeing the Clone Wars parts, all the stuff with Anakin, the flashes of him with the red, him and Ahsoka. Okay.
I'm going to interrupt you just for 1 second. Yeah. As you explain yourself, all right, I want you to keep in this context too, right? Mike, hello.
Hi, Mike.
No, he's listening, right? Mike tends to be very cynical, all right? Okay. I'm going to put him out there. He tends to be on the more cynical side of things. But he texts me this morning, Wednesday morning. He goes, I'm going to avoid my recency bias here, but that was one of the top greatest live action Star Wars episodes / moments ever. So you carry on, but I want to give that context too. All right. So you continue to explain yourself, sir. Plead your case.
You're putting a lot of
weight
on my shoulders here.
I'm intentionally putting your back against the wall. Okay.
And that's fine because the wall is crumbling against me and I'm finding my way out because I have good reason.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
I appreciate the episode. I enjoyed watching it. There were a lot of whoo moments for me with things they showed, what was going on. My two big issues that made me say I wasn't feeling the flame. It wasn't in regard to Star Wars content. It was in regards to show direction. This episode didn't do a whole lot for... basically, if they hadn't done this episode, they could have had Jason, Force-sensitive Jason, cool. They could have had him saying, I hear Ahsoka, I hear something, I think it's Ahsoka, and found her, and Ahsoka could have explained a little bit, and they could have went to the Purrgils and did their thing. Okay. This was fantastic for, I had this in my head, and I can't remember now, the phrase, fan service. This was fan service to Clone Wars. That's what was great about it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it did a whole lot for the direction and content of the show we're watching. And the other thing, I was hoping because they were saying this is going to be, you know, shown live and like shown in a theater and they're building this all up. There's so much buildup. I hate when there's buildup because I'm always let down a little bit. And I felt like we should have got more show content out of this, like for the show. And we're another episode further into the season without seeing Thrawn yet. And my biggest fear is that we get to like episode 7. What is there, 8 episodes or 9 episodes?
8, I believe.
We're going to get to episode 7 and have him revealed and get one episode of him. That's my biggest fear. And an episode like this made me frustrated because I'm like, that's another episode where we haven't seen Ezra or Thrawn. So I fully enjoyed all the flashes of Clone Wars, young Ahsoka, seeing Anakin, their battle, everything that happened, I enjoyed and appreciated as a Star Wars fan. But when it boils down to the Ahsoka series, I feel like this episode didn't need to happen. Is that fair to say?
It is very fair.
Thank you.
Okay. It is very fair. Now, as I was listening to you, I don't disagree with anything you said, actually. I don't disagree. But I just have this perspective.
Sure. That.
Is it fan service for Clone Wars fans? Abso-freaking-lutely.
And for Rebels fans in a way.
And for Rebels fans in a way, but I think this was more so if you dug in with us for the Clone Wars movie and those 7 seasons.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, that they blew it up. They built it up, hyped it up, put it in theaters, and that you hoped that because they were doing that, that it would be more of a show to further the series itself rather than the fan service for Clone Wars.
Yeah.
I think that is the reason why they put it in theaters, because they wanted to, hey, Clone Wars fans, this is your moment. Like, yes, this episode isn't going to further the series per se, or a lot, right?
Yeah.
But for all you live act, for all you Clone Wars junkies,
yeah,
that have did your homework, here you go, and it's going to be in the theater.
Yeah.
So I think that was done because of the fan first. They intentionally made this a fan service episode, knowing that they probably weren't going to further the series itself,
mm-hmm,
as it could. Like, oh, this is going to be in theaters. This is going to be a banger episode to really further this series. Yeah. Like, maybe we get Thrawn in this episode because it's going to be in theaters. That's one route they could have done, but they took the fan service route, and which is why I think that the internet was blown up with, like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever.
And Hayden Christensen again knocks it out of the park as Anakin.
Dude, he is. All right. So if you've listened to us before, right, with our Star Wars stuff, you've heard me talk about how I just not hated Hayden Christensen, but he was annoying, right?
Yeah, we've
heard me say that. Yeah. We talked about it, and then I said a lot that, yeah, the Clone Wars Anakin was cool,
but then
the Hayden Christensen,
but then also being
portrayal was annoying.
But then also,
but then
being
you
removed,
brought the point
when you're like 10 years removed from the prequel series or the prequel movies, you start to appreciate his character more because you realize why he was acting the way he was.
Right. You brought up the point of where Anakin is at in his life.
Yeah.
Right. So he was supposed to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But dude, here he is the live action version of the Clone Wars Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy bleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is freaking amazing. Like, he, yes, yes. So I'm giving him his flowers, finally.
Sure.
For his...
There were a lot of cool parts of this episode, too. Like, very especially seeing the Purrgils jump in hyperspace.
Yeah.
Seeing their tendrils light up blue and then gone.
Yeah, that was cool because we never saw that before. Like, yeah, how they, like, light up like a ship would do. or warm up like a ship would before they jump.
Right. That was cool. My favorite, I think my favorite, like emotional favorite part of the episode was at the very beginning when Hera finds Huyang on the cliff holding Sabine's helmet. And he says, I told them to stay together, but they never listen. They never listen. And you could just hear, like, he's a droid, but listen to the, like, the frustration and the emotion put into a droid's voice. That is something that Star Wars always does well, is humanizes their droids. And yeah, that right there, like, that was every, that line right there described everything about episode four. And everything we talked about last week, like, of course they didn't stay together. And when he said that, I was like, thank you. Like, I'm like pointing at the screen.
It was pretty heavy.
Yeah. And Val was sitting next to me. And
so the second time,
I was like, yeah. And she looked at me like, what are you talking about? I'm like, don't worry about it. You'd have to see it.
The second time I watched this, well, not watched it because I listened to it. So I told you I did last week. You know, I listened to it the second time around. And you can hear it in his voice. Like, you're not, when you're driving, you're not looking. Well, you shouldn't be looking at it if you do that. But, like, you can hear it in his voice. So I was thinking as I was driving, I'm like, man, that is heavy, bro. Yeah. That was a really heavy, heavy line that he dropped.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, humanizing the droids, they do it very well. Dude, Chop, you can
Chop.
So later, like midway through the episode, where, you know, Jason is hearing the lightsabers and he's directing Hera and the rest of the squad to go low.
Yeah.
And then Hera's like, you know, Jason's like, Mom, you know, Chop said these coordinates, whatever the coordinates were. Yeah. And Hera, and he's like, you know, Chopper said go low. And Hera said something like, how low? Are you sure? And dude, you can hear Chop in the background.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what he's saying, but you can hear it in the inflections of his droid voice. He's saying, like, bitch, I said low.
Like, I said, get low, get low, get low.
I said low. Like,
how
don't
low
bleep
to the window
question,
to the wall.
Yeah, don't bleep and question what I'm telling you. Like you can hear him in the background, like, and you can just hear, like, Chop is just like, it's like, listen.
The best thing about Chop is that, like, a lot of droids have that, like, beeps and the sound effects like that. His is mostly like, and it's in speech, so it's almost like somebody's doing the Charlie Brown teacher intentionally, like, get low, you know, whatever.
What?
It's great.
I just thought that was funny when I was listening to it, because I could, like, you can hear it in his droid voice. He's like, woman, I said low.
And, you know, R2-D2's got sass, but Chopper's like, Chopper rivals R2-D2's sass.
Yeah.
Huyang does too, a little bit, but Chopper's been my favorite to see, I think. Sabine's been cool. And I mean, Sabine and Hera both have been really cool to see. We've already seen Ahsoka, or, you know, but to see live action Chop, he's been fun.
Well, speaking of Ahsoka, back.
Yeah.
Before that, you know, we get Anakin, right? Mm-hmm. And Ahsoka in the world between worlds. And Ahsoka's like, you look the same. Anakin's like, you gold. Like, yep. I was like, wow.
They're calling him Snips.
Yeah, right. I was like, okay, hey, Chris, there we go. He's like, yeah, you cold. Yeah. Like, But, you know, then she was like, yeah, you know, why am I here? And like, I'm here to finish your training.
I didn't like that line.
You know,
I didn't like that line.
Your training.
Yeah.
Curious. Why not?
I talked about it last week too. All these episodes focused on training. It's like, come on.
Oh, you just want the Rocky training montage. Hearts on fire.
I do, but like, I'm here to finish your training. What did he actually finish for her? He taught her a lesson. I get it, but I don't know. Go ahead.
Hearts on. Now I'm in my Rocky.
Drago! Rocky Four.
Yeah, right.
Drago.
But you know, he's here to finish the training. They pull out the lightsabers, and I love this line. And you know, Ahsoka's like, you know, I'm not gonna fight you, something like that. And Anakin's like, I heard that before, and I'm like, I love that line.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can think about that's a callback to freaking Return of the Jedi.
That's
where you can tell you can go. You can get, but I was thinking Rebels first, but then Luke. I thought,
yeah,
Luke, Return of the Jedi. That's where I went. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Because he says in the Emperor says to him, then you will die.
I was like, Dave Filoni, you sly devil, you. Ooh.
Yeah.
Right.
And also,
so, yeah, you know.
That also makes me think, like, now that we're talking about this from Rebels, when Darth Vader shows up and Ezra says, I'm not afraid of you. And he says, and you'll die braver than most.
Lines like that. I think that Rebels Vader was probably it was one of my favorite Vader iterations.
Yeah.
The Obi-Wan Vader, he was a beast.
Yeah, and the rage.
Yeah, and the you know, the Rogue One hallway scene, obviously, mm-hmm. that's legendary. But probably before Obi-Wan came out, I would have probably said that Rebels Vader was my favorite iteration.
Yeah, when
because when not, riding... not to tangent too much off of Rebels, but probably my favorite Disney Vader moment was toward the end of season one of Rebels, where he just tells homeboy, ready my ship.
Yep.
And he literally takes out their whole squad in one TIE fighter, with one, just him in a TIE fighter.
And then he climbs on top of it and floats down on top of the
TIE badass fighter. Entrance ever.
Yeah, with
the most
his
badass.
And if you read it too, like it says his cape's fluttering. It's like, there's no way his cape would be fluttering because there's no gravity in space. So he's making it do happen with the force because that's how bougie he is.
Yes. So, but yeah, Rebels Vader, one of my favorites. So
this is twice now that Hayden Christensen's nailed the Anakin role after the prequel trilogy.
Yeah. So they slice up. He slices up the world between worlds. Like, I haven't showed you everything yet.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing. Okay, first of all, young Ahsoka was cool. And
yes.
They took it to one lightsaber.
And did you know who that was?
The actress?
Yes.
No.
I saw this snippet from an arc just because
pun intended.
I opened Google and it popped up like it was the first article.
No, I didn't see who it was.
It was the same actress who played young Gamora in Infinity War.
Oh, dang. Yeah, I totally see it now.
Yeah. Totally yeah. I like that. That's really cool.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So, yeah.
If,
all
if
right.
You continue. Notice she had one lightsaber there. She didn't have both.
Right.
Because she didn't craft that second one until after she was out of the Jedi Order. And then when they flash to the different scene and she's older and has both lightsabers. You see her hit Gar Saxon, by the way. That helmet. Mm-hmm. That helmet was very, very obvious. And Anakin's like, I don't recognize this. And she's like, you wouldn't. This is the Siege of Mandalore. So that was cool, too.
Yes. And we got a little Captain Rex debuting in live action, technically.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I want to see old man Rex.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that was one of my points where I'm like, oh, really? This is all the Rex we're going to get live action?
Well, he's got to be really old by now if that's the case. Because the clones ran into the Rebels were very old.
This is a few years removed from Rebels, so.
Well, no.
Yes,
Rebels,
well, the
Rebels is before A New Hope. Rebels is before A New Hope, and this is 5 years after.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Yeah. And the advanced aging. Yeah.
And they were old.
Can we do like a flashback? Can we do another flashback or something?
You just get one more.
I really
want
to see. Yeah, I want to see old man Rex.
Someone just go in and add a cutscene to the end of this episode for us. Filoni, get on it. You hear us?
Yeah. You're right. That burst my bubble a little bit.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you know what burst my bubble was that they didn't pull Ezra out of the way between worlds. My awesome hot take was shattered, just like the bridge was.
Yeah. I mean, we're used to this by now, right? Hot takes being obliterated, so it's nothing.
I mean, of all the ones that I wanted to be true, that was the one I wanted to be the truest.
I tell you what, later, I have some thoughts about Ezra.
Okay.
It's an episode. Or artist. But I kind of... All right, for me, this episode... It was good. It was a banger. It wasn't as much of a banger as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And that's just because I think I set my expectations way too high.
Same.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It was good. It was very good. If I remove myself from my expectations, like it was a banger episode, I think my expectations were just way too high.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know,
any show that I've watched that's done an episode like this that has been like removed from the track of the episode, kind of done as like a side, I haven't liked them. And it's not this, and again, like you said, this was a good episode, but was it an Ahsoka episode? It was more like
it was
like
not
you said,
no, it was It was Clone
it was
Wars.
A fan service, a Clone Wars fan service episode. And that's not bad. That doesn't mean it's a bad thing. But it just, the next episode after these usually is pretty tight. If you think, like, I don't know if you've watched Stranger Things, if we've talked about this. But in the second season, they did an episode where they tried to do like an Outsiders type episode where... Eleven, she's the main like main kind of main character. She runs away. It's like the Runaways, not the Outsiders, the Runaways. And she like goes back to where she came from, and she finds all these kids and people who are like powers like her. And she puts on like a leather jacket and slicks her hair and everything. And it was like, oh, it's supposed to be this like cool, fun, like, hey, look, she's not the only one out there episode. And it was like, why? You didn't need to do that episode. And then the next episode, she's back in the thick of things with everybody. And, you know, it was the finale. But that episode, I did not like. I mean, I get they're trying to go, you know, develop her character without her friends and everything. And maybe that's what they were trying to do with Ahsoka here, was to develop her character with some flashbacks or whatever. But I don't know.
Yeah, yes, it was not an Ahsoka episode. However, I do think that the fan service element of it, yes,
yeah,
I'm okay. I'm very much okay with it.
Yeah, same here.
They I love. Okay, I can't talk about Hayden Christensen enough. I really dug his dialogue and his character at this point.
Well, the flashes to Red, the flashes of Vader.
Okay, so right there. Yeah. All right, so for the battle, so at Ryloth, that first battle that they're at, like they're, you know, he's like, you know, trying to joke with her and stuff like that, and he's basically telling her, like, look, hey, man. As a Jedi, we were trained to be peacekeepers, but, you know, shit happens.
Yeah.
You know, we got to be soldiers. You know, we have to fight or you're going to die. This is how we win the war. We got to fight or you're going to die. All right. And funny, we talked about wrestling because Vince McMahon. So if you're an Attitude Era wrestling fan, you know, Vince McMahon, you see where I'm going with this in a second. There's a connection.
Yeah.
Right. The Mr. McMahon character, he used to mess with Stone Cold and The Rock and everybody all the time. And one of his lines he used to say, Mr. McMahon, he used to say, all right, Stone Cold, The Rock, or insert whoever, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. Right? So at the Siege of Mandalore battle, you know, Anakin's like, hey, you know, basically you inherit everything like from me, since I'm your master. Like, I inherited everything from Obi-Wan. Like, you're a part of a legacy. And Ahsoka basically turns to him and says, you know, you're a little bit more powerful and dangerous than we all thought you would be. And then Anakin's like, oh, so this is about, okay. So when I saw that, I'm like, all right, he just went straight Mr. McMahon. He's like, all right, we're going to do this the hard way now. Yep. Since I have to teach you a lesson. And then you see the Sith eye. Well, no, you see the red lightsaber first.
Yeah.
And then he turns around with the Sith eyes. I'm like, all right, we're doing this the hard way.
And when you look at it too, the first time they battle, he pulls out the blue lightsaber. He's a lot more relaxed and smiling. The lightsaber fight there feels more like a spar.
I'm glad you said that, because one of my quote unquote disappointments that I had initially was I was looking for more initially, right? Mm-hmm. I was looking for more dialogue between those two in terms of resolution.
Yes.
Because that elephant in the room, like, hey, you were Vader, we fought, and you pretty much killed me.
Yeah.
But Ezra pulled me out before it actually happened.
And for him to be like, yeah, I thought you were dead. Where the hell did you go? You know?
Yeah. So I thought there was gonna be a little bit more dialogue resolution to that.
Yeah.
And initially, after my first viewing, like, I was like, I wish there was a little bit more on that end.
Yeah.
But then the second time I listened to it, I was thinking, you know what? That is the resolution, I believe. Because I think Anakin, from his end, he is embracing that, yes, I did that. Like, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm using that. I'm using that experience. I'm using that path that I went down to teach you something, to teach you this lesson. And like you said, it was a spar.
Yep.
Like, I don't think that side of Anakin was going to kill her.
No. When you see the red lightsaber come out, though,
right?
It's like, turn up the heat.
Turn it up. Like, let's go. He said, you lack conviction. All right.
He sounded like Vader.
Yeah. Like, Mr. McMahon, we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. Obviously, nice Anakin didn't work. That was the easy way.
Good cop, bad cop.
Now we're going to do this the hard way. Yeah, right. Good cop, bad cop. Yeah. And I think that was the resolution. Like, Anakin embraces that side that he went down, but he's using it now.
And you, like, you see the
to teach.
And he also said, you're part of a legacy. And yeah. So I'm thinking about that. And we've already talked about this because it was shown to us. And it goes all the way back to Yoda and Dooku. Or not, I'm sorry. It is Dooku. That's right. Because he's, what was he? Darth. I can't remember what his.
I don't remember his Darth name. Was it Tyrannus?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, yeah.
So right. you got Yoda and Dooku. Okay, Dooku to Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon to Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan to Anakin. Anakin to Ahsoka. And in all those instances, something bad happened between Master and Padawan. We don't know what happened between Yoda and Dooku exactly, but Dooku ended up going Sith. That's kind of the bad that happened between Dooku and Qui-Gon also. When Qui-Gon died, that probably was a huge dagger to Dooku, which made him probably go even darker.
Oh, yeah. In Tales of the Jedi, you can tell that his death, Qui-Gon's death, like that really, like screw this Jedi nonsense.
Yep. Yeah. Qui-Gon dying at the hand of Darth Maul, that affected Obi-Wan, which negatively affected him taking Anakin on as a Padawan. Obi-Wan and Padawan, and Anakin, obviously, if you watch the prequel trilogy and Clone Wars, you can see where that's going. And Anakin and Ahsoka, where Ahsoka is removed from the Jedi Council Order and refuses to come back. So there's always, like, down that, that's the legacy. The legacy of, and what the, when he said it, when he said it, I didn't understand it until now. The legacy is a legacy of failed apprentices. And Sabine is that legacy.
Oh.
So the lesson there is, he's telling her, you're a bad teacher to her. You're part of the legacy, and that is the legacy. So her breaking the cycle is going to be straightening things up with Sabine and doing it right. So that's really the lesson of the episode. It's not easy to get to. That's the another thing that frustrated me was, I'm like, what was the lesson here? I just figured it out. At least I think I figured it out. It sounded good, but you know, if you can't come away from an episode like that, that's not going to be that much an Ahsoka episode as it is a fan service episode. If there's nothing to latch onto it for the show, it's like, why? And there it is. That's what it is. The lesson is, don't screw it up with Sabine.
Wow. You know, the lesson that I pulled from it, you know, was basically you lack conviction. Like, hey, you need to, hey, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do and not think about it. I think that part of Ahsoka's problem was she was thinking about, you know, she was thinking about all the lives she cost and Ryloth, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I'm not going to fight you and whatever. All right, well, then you're going to die. Sometimes you just got to do it, right? Just get it done. And I think that happens at the end of the episode when she communicates with the Purgle. Please, and they hitch a ride in the hyperspace. And Hu Yang is like, do we know where we're going? And Ahsoka's like, I don't know.
that was amazing.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
We're just getting it. We're just doing it. We're just getting it done. And I thought that was the lesson that, but you just come out with this.
Yeah, do what I can.
Wow. Hot take Jake / Hawkeye Jake / TED Talk Jake.
Watch out.
Wow. Whoa. Whoa. That's outstanding.
Thank you.
Wow, that's oh, good night, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. Hold on to your butts.
Four hot dogs.
Wow. Whoa. All right.
Now, did you notice this? I mean, I did right away. Right after she was saved from the rescued from the water, and then she was on her ship and she was recovering, and she gets up and she's talking to Huyang. Did you know? I noticed something very weird, and it really threw me off until they corrected it. Not corrected it, but she didn't have a headband between.
That's funny. I saw a meme about that, like bald Ahsoka.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, yeah, I just saw it like an hour ago. I'll see if I can find it again, and I'll tag you.
That was weird. But you know what? Yeah. It actually looked good. Like that's one of those things where like Hera always wears that like hood that separates her face from the tendrils. So you never see them actually connect to her head and be a part of her head. And the same thing with Ahsoka, she's got that like metal headband that sits there. Yeah. And it like keeps those two parts of her face apart so it doesn't look strange. So to see it without it, I was like, oh gosh, that's weird to look at, but okay,
yeah, we're doing this. I don't think I'm gonna be able to find it, but yes, somebody memed it. Yeah. Yeah, it didn't take long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I didn't see that. I just noticed it and I wrote weird without the headband. That's my note.
Yeah.
Weird without the headband.
I have a grind my gears.
Mm.
And I think we already talked about it.
Now was this you've had this grind your gears since watching it, or did this develop while we've been talking?
No. We talked about it in episode two. Our discussion.
Oh, episode two. Wow.
Yeah. This new force power, I guess Disney has to take it upon themselves as like every Star Wars series or show, movie, whatever, the Jedi have to get a new force power.
Yeah.
You know, this whole impression thing, that it kind of annoyed me. Because if that's the case, hell, the Jedi could have figured out a lot of shit from this impression.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Where she saw where Sabine, what happened.
Yes, and that happened in episode two, like when she went back to Sabine's place during the fight and she saw what happened. And I think they didn't like give it a name, but in episode two, they didn't give it a name, but in this episode, Ahsoka's like, maybe she left an impression. Mm-hmm. So I can see what happened, basically. Yeah. And I was like, ah, gosh.
Now,
you know, with Mandalorian, the whole force healing thing, and then, you know, the sequel trilogy with the whole, you know, giving your force, you know, to the other person, and being able to transfer the lightsabers through the force and all this other shit.
Yeah.
It's like these new force abilities, man.
This one didn't bother me all that much. Because if I think back,
I don't like it.
Well, could we ever say that like Yoda and Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan ever used it, but just didn't draw attention to it?
Yeah, maybe, but like
touching things and knowing like, just making like noises, and it's like, what do you see? And like, what is it? And like, nothing. And you know, oh yeah, that's the nothing. Okay, no, that means something. You just don't want to tell us. You know, one of those things. And she's just drawing attention to it. I don't know. It I mean, now that I'm
I just feel like if this was always a thing,
yeah,
like I feel like we would have no Star Wars because the Jedi could have figured out a whole lot of shit.
Oh, especially with the that. With the Senate with the Senator becoming Emperor and all that, that like
yeah.
being a Sith. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Like, hey, that this doesn't feel right. He yeah. touched this thing. Oh, Palpatine is the Emperor. Yeah.
Yeah. Knowing okay. And also knowing yeah. about Sifo
Sifo Dyas, yeah. Dyas, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he yeah, left that, an impression.
That was the first thing that popped up in my head. Okay, they could have figured that shit out in the prequels.
Yeah. Yeah, this so now that I think about it more, this actually does have a huge negative effect on past events.
Yeah.
Unless they're trying to explain it as an Ahsoka thing. Yeah. Maybe it's a like a space race thing, you know, with her I can't remember what they're called. I mean, she's not Twi'lek. You know what I mean? Like maybe the Twi'leks are more sensitive to certain
if that's types. The case, if that's the case, I would love to have that specifically laid out.
I would too.
That every Jedi yeah. can't do this.
Right.
Because it really annoys me. Because
I mean maybe
like episode two, I let it slide. All right, whatever. It's fine. Yeah. But this plays an integral role in the rest of the series. Now, I don't know if we talked about this or not the last time we were on, but like okay, there was only one of two ways that they were gonna figure out how to get to Thrawn, right? Yeah. Either A, what I was thinking, that transport that they got the hyperdrive to, that ring.
They'd like hitch a ride
at the
on
beginning
it.
Of the series, that tracker. If that's still on that trans, if that transport is still linked to that hyperdrive,
oh,
that would be one
smart.
Way. Or B, the Purgles. Like it was gonna, I don't know if we talked about it, but in my head, I knew it was only going to be one of two ways, either that or the Purgles, right? And
yeah,
we got there to the Purgles.
To me,
but,
it
like,
was
the
it
way.
Was, it was going to be either they hitched a ride or they sat around and waited for them to come back. I didn't even think about the Purgles taking them there.
Yeah. Let's say, so maybe we didn't talk about it, but those were my two things, either A, the Purgles, or B, the tracker from the hyperdrive on the hyperdrive.
Funny enough, I actually forgot the Purgles were there after they landed on the planet and did all their crap down there. I forgot the Purgles were there.
Yeah. So, but yeah, how we got there, like,
you know, something that grinds my gears a bit. How did she get to the Way Between Worlds?
Yeah, that's a little fuzzy. But
I mean,
you know what?
How did Ezra get there?
I'm gonna. Well, Ed, that was like the whole temple thing, and back from Rebels.
Yeah. So he had like an actual way that he like opened something up and walked in.
Yes. How she got there? Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Even if they did like some kind of really loose, like, nah, you're gonna have to believe us thing where because Ezra touched her and pulled her there, that gave her like a connection to it or something, and like a.
No, I'm gonna roll with that. You said that. Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna just roll with that.
I mean,
like, hey,
that could be it. That in a life or death situation, she could escape to there because in a life or death situation, he pulled her out of it. You know, so yeah. Maybe she has some connection to it that we don't know about, that she doesn't even know about. Obviously, she's been there before, but that, I mean, she was knocked off a cliff, which was even weird to begin with because he hit her lightsaber and she just fell. I was like, what just happened here? And then all of a sudden she's in the Way Between Worlds. And I'm like, I was expecting someone to have like grabbed her out of the air and like saved her, but no, she just fell into it. So that was weird to me. I was like, how'd she get there? I guess we're just going with it. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. I didn't think about it and I didn't want to think about it. I'm just going to go with it.
Yeah. Yep. See, those are the things I think about. So,
yeah. Jason, let's talk about him real quick.
His hair is weird. His green hair is weird. I'm sorry. It's weird to look at. I mean, we've seen a whole bunch of different kinds of color hair. But something about it's almost it's like, is it black? Is it gray? Is it green? Is it like trying to be black hair? And it's like, oh, it's a little bit green there. No, like make it green. Don't make it this like halfway between color. It's like it just threw me off. Like every time I looked at him, I was like, is his hair green? Yeah, it kind of is. Is it supposed to be? Oh wait, what was he saying? Rewind. You know, like.
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and I remember from the show. Yeah, so, from Rebels, it's supposed to be for sure.
Yeah. I love the teases of all right, we're gonna go down the Jedi route with Jason.
Mm-hmm.
What I wonder is, this is where my morbid mind went. If by the end of this episode all right. So here's something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if we're doing this rule of two, which kind of applies, we think about the rule of two as a Sith thing, mm-hmm. but I mean, the Jedi, you know, they seem to have it too, you know, a master and an apprentice.
Yeah, you know, it is a rule of two, because if you're a master, you can't have another apprentice, and the Jedi do that, so the Sith do it too, but
yeah,
there's only
we tend to associate it with just the Sith, but like the Jedi do it too. So,
but
like,
they say the Sith there can only be two, and it's like, does that just mean that there can be only a master and apprentice, or does that mean there can only be one master and one apprentice? You know, are they just are they that naive that they don't realize there could be that many more Sith, and they just don't know it because they don't want to accept it?
I don't know,
or there just haven't been that many in history that. They've only ever seen two together. Anyway. But
what I'm thinking about is like with Jason, all right, if he starts training, I wonder if Ahsoka takes him as an apprentice. I wonder if by the end of the episode, maybe Sabine is like, this Jedi stuff is really not for me. And she takes on Jason as Ahsoka takes on Jason as an apprentice.
Hmm.
Because I hope that would be the case. Because if Ahsoka's like, yeah, you got this Jedi abilities, you would be a great candidate. Hey, I know this dude, Luke Skywalker, he's starting up a new Jedi school.
Yeah.
You should head there. Well, we kind of know what happens to Luke's apprentices.
Spoiler alert.
At the Jedi school. It's like, so that's where my mind went.
Yeah.
Like, I hope he doesn't go to Luke's school because.
Yeah. Mom, I don't want to go there. I hear lightsaber noises. Yikes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just wanted to touch on Jason real quick.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was cool. But, yeah, that's where my mind went when I'm like, oh, Jason can be a Jedi. Then I thought, oh.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Maybe not. Maybe that's not a good idea. Anywho.
Probably not.
Ezra. One. This post, but I think I archived it on Instagram, and I'll send it to you. But somebody blew up a still from the show, and it shows the inside of the ship of the Ghost.
Okay.
And there's a picture of Kanan.
Oh.
Somebody blew it up. There's a live action Kanan Jarrus. Like somebody like caught it, hit pause, zoomed in, and posted it.
Oh, like the Hera had a picture of him.
Yes, yes, yes.
So somebody posed as a live action Kanan.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I'll send that to you when I find it again. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that before I forget.
Okay.
Ezra.
Yeah.
I hate to say this, I am starting to get a real bad feeling about Ezra.
I have a bad feeling about this.
I do not. I'm starting to feel not good.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like with these things, we always get some type of twist. And Thrawn is out there. He's out there thriving, sending signals and all this other shit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not hearing from Ezra. He's just...
I mean,
is Ezra a prisoner? Is he? Maybe, what are we doing?
Maybe he's in hiding and has no chance of reaching out.
I feel like
so he's constantly on the run and can't reach out because he doesn't know where to reach out, and they're constantly hunting him. I mean, are we going to get a situation here where he's like Janet Van Dyne in the Quantum Realm? You know, and they're gonna find him, and it's like
some way, shape, or form.
Like, is this gonna be Thrawn as Thrawn as King?
It's not gonna be the happy go lucky reunion that you're hoping for.
I think you're right. I mean, I just have this feeling
in some way. I don't know how. I can't prove it. I don't have any evidence. I'm hoping we get a happy reunion, but there's something I have that gut feeling that. There's gonna be a twist or two about Ezra.
I just have this feeling that we're gonna get like I said, like he's gonna be like Janet Van Dyne hiding in the quantum realm from Kang, and Kang is Thrawn. Like that's the feel I get. So
yeah. It's something.
Yeah.
But yeah, once I ended this episode, I just got it in the, like, there's this pit in my stomach, mm-hmm. like, I don't know.
Well, and I really hope that they go, hey, we got this huge villain in Thrawn. Like, okay, we're going to reveal him. And let's let him be the bad guy for like a season or two. Instead of doing what they did with Cad Bane, where he showed up and I went absolutely bonkers, and then he was dead the next episode. And I was like, what the hell? Like, how the hell are you going to bring in this guy? And he just, oh, we're just going to kill him. Cool, he's dead. Sweet. We finally saw him in live action. He's dead. Like, that irritated me. So I'm hoping that Thrawn sticks around and they don't pull what every series that I feel like I watch anymore does is reveal the bad guy with an episode left and then kill him off.
Yeah.
Like, haha, I am back. I'm coming back. Let's go through the portal. No, portal explodes. Hey, where'd Thrawn go? Hey, we eliminated the threat. Okay.
I mean, they could. I mean,
I shouldn't once have they
reveal
said it.
Once they reveal him. I mean, that could open up a whole new batch of
batch
material.
Bad batch.
I mean, because Thrawn was huge in the legacy novels in Star Wars. So that could open up a big, that's an opportunity.
Yeah, let him ride. Let him do his thing. So, let him be the reason that the First Order comes about. Have him involved in it. Then maybe we'll all accept it a little more.
No.
Not happening.
No. No. No.
Anyway. Well.
One other thought.
Go for
it. It's probably not going to happen. But I would love to see. It doesn't have to be a series. Maybe like a special presentation, like, you know, the Marvel folks do. You know, like the, you know.
Yeah. Like where the werewolves.
Where, yeah. You know, the Guardians Christmas special. Something like that. They don't have to do a whole movie or series. Man, I would love to see a Vader special presentation.
with Dr. Aphra?
Like they did in the comics. Like there's just so much Vader material out there that they've done a great job with in the comics.
Yeah.
And seeing Hayden Christensen, like maybe we can just get one little run, one little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he can hang it up.
You know, I'm hoping. Well, we're not, because we're not going to. Well, you don't know if we see it or not in Andor, because that's going to have another season. And you still have Bad Batch. He's around. There's opportunities for him to show up.
I know. I want more than a show up.
I agree.
Like, I want, like, this is Vader.
The hardest thing is, though, is you know the moment he becomes Vader and what happens throughout the original trilogy. I don't know. It's just, you know nothing bad's going to happen to him. You know he's going to make it to the point where he dies with Luke. You know, dies sitting there on the second Death
Star. Agreed.
Hmm?
But that Vader comic series was so good. Even if you know what's going to happen eventually.
Yeah.
But
I think that's the weak point is, though, that they've got this fantastic character to develop, but he's handcuffed between the movies that you know he's in. Like the comics are great because they can draw it up. They don't have to. I mean, people. I'm sure people, like you said, me included, would enjoy seeing it. But I don't know.
I would just like to see like one like Vader run. Like, dude, like that one comic I told you about this. Like, there was one. There was one edition in the comic where he basically ordered Tarkin and all his goons to hunt him, basically just to prove a point that he's still that dude.
Yep.
that was probably one of my favorite issues of that that Vader run.
And then him finding out that the Emperor is trying to make
replacements, basically.
Yeah, and he's going through and knocking them off. He's got Dr. Aphra with him. He's got B-000 and BT. No. God, what was the other droid's name? 000 was the R2-D2, the R2 unit. And come on. What was it? BT, is that right? Yeah, 000 and BT.
Yeah,
BT being the homicidal protocol droid assassin, and 000 just a no morals R2-D2. Like, just those characters, those I would love to see those two and Dr. Aphra with Vader doing Vader things. It would be cool. I enjoyed those comics.
Yeah.
I think
Filoni is more interested in his shit, though.
I agree.
Versus, yeah, so.
I just want to hear BT speak in C-3PO's voice and do the murder things that BT does.
Yeah.
Like, you have this comfort of the voice of C-3PO, and you're like, why are you stabbing this guy? You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think I don't got much more else to say about this episode. It sounds like a mixed bag, but it's really not. You know, it's weird.
Yes, it's not a mixed bag. It's a great episode.
It's just perspective of the show versus fan service.
Yes.
And I think the fan service wins out because it was really good. If it would have been poor fan service, then it just would have been a terrible episode altogether.
Yeah, but it was really good fan service.
Yeah.
Really good.
So we'll see what happens next week in episode 6. And I think that's all I got. Anything else?
Yeah, that's all I got. Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, well, for one of our shorter episodes, oh wow.
Relatively speaking.
Exactly.
It's so we're yeah, we're still an hour. We're an hour, yeah, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
This is one of our shorter episodes, yes.
Well, thanks for listening as always, fans. And we'll wrap it up here for Hawkeye Rye. This is Hot Take Jake, and as always.
As always.
Hold on to your butts.